Hello, everyone, and welcome back to My Curiously Queer Life. During this journey, I have pondered the idea of forgiveness a lot, both for others and for myself. I am fully aware of the role that I have played in very diverse stories that are happening around us all the time. I know the shadows that I've cast in other people's tales, and I have been the villain in many stories told by others. I don't want anyone to hear this and think that I am trying to be all sunshine and roses and pretend like there wasn't moments when I was a complete asshole. I have apologized to those I could, but to those that I have missed or may not even know that I caused you hurt, I offer the deepest, roundest, most heartfelt apology. I was navigating my own life from a very dark place, and I was in self-preservation mode. Sailing the turbulent waters of forgiveness, I keep coming back to a question: what purpose does it serve if the person I'm asking for forgiveness or I'm giving forgiveness doesn't care? I don't think it matters. I think on this road, we find forgiveness for ourselves and we offer it to those that we can. But on the road, at some point, we start putting the things down that don't serve us anymore. And I know for me, I get so fixated on these moments when I'm hurt or I've hurt someone, and I play them over and over and over again in my head. And I can't spend my life living like that. It's not living. It's like being inside a jail. And I need to break free. I need to create new paths of joy and kindness. Hurt requires you to get into it, get under it, and forgive the shared experience. Understanding the power that we have to self-heal and move forward is the greatest gift to freedom. This doesn't mean that we heal ourselves and we jump back into the fire with the people and expect that it's going to be better, because both sides need to heal. Otherwise, that shared space, this shared space, never becomes better. We just keep going around in the same circles, doing the same things, fighting the same battles, and that's crazy. Forgiveness is putting down the burden of hurt and moving on lighter, more jovial. I, from this moment forward, live in a space where healing is king. Forgiveness is queen, and my kingdom is the forest. I live for the forest. So I hope that anyone listening, you start walking a journey of forgiving yourself and start putting things down. Because once you start putting the bad down, there's so much good to pick up. All right, that's it for my opening this week. We are going on to chapter 14. Nothing short of epic. I did promise to interject some positivity in the ongoing narrative of the story of my life. This chapter is about some nostalgic memories from my youth that I hold near and dear to my heart. These stories illuminate the goodness that shone through the shadows of generational trauma. Like I mentioned several chapters ago, my mother was one of several siblings. If memory serves me right, perhaps 8 in total. Such large families were commonplace in her era, a time when raising children was less expensive. Growing up in a household with numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins meant there was always a bustling environment filled with familiar faces. The abundance of cousins provided a vibrant cohort for me to play with, offering a sense of belonging and unconditional acceptance. During my youth, these familiar bonds created a sanctuary where me and my cousins and my family could roam freely and bask in the warmth of genuine love and affection. Family gatherings in my youth were nothing short of epic. Each event a grand spectacle filled with an abundance of food, snacks, and spirited activities. Birthdays were celebrated with jubilant picnics in the park, where volleyball matches, water balloon fights, and races with gleeful pursuits. The day was always filled with fun and laughter. These moments were brimming with joy that I wished would never end. The cousins, along with my sister and I, would eagerly create elaborate plays to entertain our parents. Hours were dedicated to scripting, rehearsing, and preparing for these performances, only to unravel in fits of laughter and improvisation once we took the stage. Despite the chaotic unraveling of our productions, it was tradition that drew us closer together, sparking creativity and shared amusement. Recalling those times, I am enveloped in memories of a family unit that operated as a tightly knit community, where parents collectively raised us like a village. Their imparted values and wisdom, striving to empower us with the best of their knowledge while grappling with their own unspoken traumas. Among my earliest recollections in this time, I remember my first apartment with my mother, or I believe it was our first apartment. I was about 2 or 3. I have memories of leaving my own bed to seek solace in my mother's room, where I would curl up on her back, finding comfort in her presence as we shared moments of peace. The gentle rays of sunlight streaming through the window, casting a warm glow over us. These memories remain etched in my mind. I can feel the warmth of the sun even now. Our bond was one of immeasurable love, a sanctuary of closeness and security that enveloped us both. In that same apartment, I vividly remember my excitement over my Hot Wheels track. I would shoot the cars down the track and they would do a couple loop-to-loops and it would just thrill me. This simple joy brought a sense of exhilaration and playfulness to my days, leaving lasting impressions of my childhood and innocent fun. Recently, I stumbled upon a photo from that era, capturing me in full 80s flair, legs crossed, head held high with a cigarette in my hand, exuding an aura of nonchalant confidence. In this photo, I was dressed in full 80s aerobics teacher drag. It was pink, it was flamboyant, it was everything. Upon seeing it, I was taken back and questioned my mother, with subtle accusations in my tone, blaming her for the queer struggles I faced after this moment. To my surprise, she met my gaze with unwavering calm and stated, "You pleaded with me to dress you like that, begged me to do it." In her loving and accepting way, she indulged my whims, allowing me to revel in my 80s pop star fantasy with unashamed delight. The photo encapsulates a moment of pure joy and self-expression, a testament to the unconditional support and understanding that defined our relationship. The freedom my mother granted me to embrace my true self knew no bounds. She was a space of unwavering support and acceptance that I hold dear, drawing strength from it even today. Her living room coffee table, elongated and serving as my beloved stage, became a realm where my creativity thrived without restraint. Its length provided the perfect runway for my youthful performances, setting the scene for moments of pure artistry. It was during that period that my love for music blossomed, nurtured by my mother's collection of records. Perhaps the only ones accessible to me at the time, yet they held a world of wonder within their grooves. Armed with their tea towels transformed into makeshift capes, I would twirl and dance on my makeshift stage, pouring my heart into each spirited performance. As I unleashed my inner diva, my mother would be there, a devoted audience member applauding me along every way with unbridled enthusiasm. The crescendo of my shows always culminated with a dramatic leap, soaring through the air with grace before landing gracefully on one knee, a gesture that marked the grand finale of my performance. If anyone ever wondered where I started my larger-than-life personality, I lovingly attribute it to all those magical productions that unfolded on that humble yet revered coffee table stage. And then the arrival of my baby sister, my confidant, my shield, my source of unbridled happiness. She marked the beginning of a bond unlike any other in my life. Our connection ran deep, forging closeness that became my rock through my tumultuous journey of the first 18 years of my existence. She was my anchor, my constant companion who stood by me through thick and thin. In the tapestry of our relationship, I've previously mentioned my sister's excitement for a particular brand of humor, one that bordered on the mischievous, sadistic side at times. Her playful alter ego emerged, driving her to engage in antics that left me both bewildered and amused. One such incident stands out. As I ideally watched Star Trek: The Next Generation, yes, because it's truly awesome, thank you, she called my name and jokingly hurled a lighter in my direction, connecting me squarely in my face. The absurdity of the situation, the unexpectedness of her actions, would send us both into fits of uncontrollable laughter. Though seemingly peculiar to others, our shared sense of humor often tiptoed in the realm of trauma jokes, finding hilarity in the most unexpected and perhaps inappropriate moments. It was these instances of lighthearted mischief that the essence of our unbreakable bond and shared resilience shone through, weaving together a tapestry of memories that defined our unique sibling dynamic. As I mentioned before, high school was a period of internal struggle as I tried to conceal my sexuality, and it only led to a sense of isolation. However, amidst the solitude, a glimmer of light emerged one year when my desire for a surprise birthday party was fulfilled by my sister. She rallied her girlfriends, transformed our home into a festive haven, and orchestrated a heartfelt surprise celebration for me.
No one's ever thrown me a surprise party before.
These gestures of love and support, though unconditional to some, an all-girl gathering, encapsulated the safety and warmth I found within the female bonds that surrounded me. When it came time for my own graduation, I made the decision not to go. It was a space where I had no connections and no desire to sit in with the people that tormented me for the last 5 years. But I wholeheartedly immersed myself in my sister's graduation. Crafting a graduation gown for her became a creative outlet through which I could contribute to her special day. The dress, a labor of love designed by me and skillfully brought to life by my mother's friend, an added touch of personal flair to her special occasion. On the day of her graduation, a sequence of mishaps unfolded, starting with a misguided attempt to bleach my sister's hair using box dye. The bathroom echoed with my sister's sobs, a sound that pierced through my heart. Concerned for her well-being, I implored her to unlock the door and she yielded, allowing me to step into the vulnerability of the moment, offering solace and unwavering support in the face of adversity. As my sister opened the door, tears were streaming down her cheeks, laminating the hair disaster. She uttered, "It looks so bad." To salvage the situation, we assured her that the stylish updo that we were about to do would fix everything. However, when the updo was complete, she glimpsed herself in the mirror and exclaimed, "I look like a pineapple."
Pineapple head. Shit together. Shawty see my wrist, said it look like pineapple. Shawty super thick, bet she tastes like pineapple. Pineapple.
Despite the best efforts to keep the situation serious, a bout of laughter overtook us both, initiating a cascade of giggles and tears that brightened the gap between distress and humor. In that shared moment of emotional vulnerability, laughter emerged as our beacon, guiding us out of the shadows of disappointment towards a place of lighthearted connection. Despite initial hesitations and hours spent indoors resisting the urge to leave and showcase her unique hairstyle, we eventually braved the night out, embracing the quirkiness of her pineapple-inspired look. To our surprise and delight, she radiated beauty and confidence. proving that true elegance shines from within, even amidst unconventional circumstances. The evening finished in a magical world of smiles and laughter at graduation breakfast, while we were under the influence of magic mushrooms, an experience that added a surreal touch to an already memorable night. Amidst the laughter, the pineapple hair, and the whimsical twist of fate, my mother, sister, and I discovered solace in each other's company, finding joy during darkness and humor in the shadows. Looking ahead, I eagerly anticipate a future illuminated by love and unburdened laughter. A time when we can revel in the light of healed hearts and celebrate the profound bonds that carried us through life's twists and turns. I look forward to a day when all the people I have loved in my life find a place of healing and we can continue making happy, loving, joyful stories. All right, everyone. Well, that's it for this week. And as always, fill your tanks with joy, love, and kindness. And when that bitch is spilling over the edge, you share it with all the people around you. My name is Thomas St. James, and this is My Curiously Queer Life.